I just remember this story and I wish it wasn't true, but it is, and anyone ever told me this, I would tell them they were full of shit. Every year I made it a mission to attend the nightclub and bar show in Vegas. It was pretty much the only weekend I would take off. I would never take off any time. I wouldn't even take off holidays, and every relationship I was in, I would always tell them not to get between me and the club because I would always take the club. It was like some kind of strange addiction. I always felt that no one could ever do my job, or at least if they could, they could never come out with the same numbers. My dollar per person ratio was the highest of anyone I've ever known. And making the owners happy and well paid, I felt, was my job, even though they never returned the favor. They were off buying $1 million houses, Hummers and supercharged Mustangs, while I had to share a 3-bedroom apartment with a bunch of club guys. It wasn't that I didn't enjoy it, but looking back, I was worth the hell of a lot more. But back to Vegas. Now I wouldn't go there and be delinquent, or at least not trying to be, but I just knew too many people and they wanted to hang out with me, not the other way around. There was club owners from across Canada and the US and their DJs, and every night I was being invited to some bottle service party, or some liquor rep would want me to attend their event, and naturally I had a reputation to uphold, so I would drink like a teenager on prom night. There's something about the desert heat or the sun in the desert that makes me absorb and sweat out alcohol extra fast, but after a week of drinking and partying hard, it tends to catch up on you. There's many more levels to Vegas, but what happens in Vegas? Anyways, we had a very good trip, purchasing new toys from the trade show, seeing all the technology we could copy, and hanging around with celebrities in the clubs, but there comes a time where you have to go home. My flight was the last to leave, so I watched all my buddies get on their flights and go while I fell asleep in the airport. After a bit, I thought I should go have a drink at the bar to pass the time, and I don't know if it's airport bars or just the bar I was at. But the myth about getting hit on is totally true, but the part they don't tell you is it's all 50-year-old cougars with a voice that's raspier than mine. So I ran away screaming and hid in a corner away from the predators. They finally made the call for my flight, so I thought I could get on and rest in my seat. I don't know what the model number was of the plane. Ali can tell you was my seat was at the back of the plane, and there was 2 seats on my side and 3 on the other, but instead of seats there was a galley or something and a spot for the flight attendant to sit. So I wandered down to my seat and put my bags above my head in the compartment and settled my hungover ass in the seat and closed my eyes to rest a bit. Now just as I was about to fall asleep, a beam of sunlight shoots me in the eye and I want them to see where it's coming from. Well, as I looked around, I saw the sunlight was coming from a crack around the door in the back of the plane that I was 3 seats away from. So I figure I should ask the flight attendant about the light coming through the door, and she said ensure it okay, but he'll just check with the captain. So she got on her little payphone on the wall and called up to who I guessed was the captain, and she spoke. Then she listened and nodded her head and agreed. It all seemed to be very business as usual, so she came back to me and said everything seems fine. The captain said his indicator lights tell him it's closed, and she toddled off to somewhere else in the plane. Just that second I felt the plane rolling back, being pushed by some kind of tractor. We went back for what seemed like an hour, then we were parked on the tarmac in a field. We sat there for a bit and the wings made their usual electric and hydraulic noises, then it came to the jet engines. The plane had 3 engines, one on either side of the tail and one on the top, and the noise that came through that door was deafening. Now I only know this next part because I'm used to running a soundboard and deck. The noise started out as a growl that escalated to a whine, but not a usual whine. It was like someone had put my face into the horn of a JBL 2 horn and yanked it out. It was 150 decibels of 1.2k unstoppable pain. That's when I thought I really need to check my seatbelt, because if things are going to continue this way, it's not going to end well. So while this unbearable pain is going on, I didn't notice that the plane was taxiing towards the runway. I thought to myself, this is fun, and that I already told the attendant that there seemed to be something wrong with the door. They must be watching for a light in the cockpit. Well, apparently they weren't, because the moment we pulled onto the runway, he goosed it, and those 3 big spinny-eye things on the back end did what they do best and made an unbearable sound and made the plane accelerate down the runway. I then checked my seatbelt once again and thought to myself, all the famous people that died in a plane crash, and then thought, if I'm gonna go, this is the way to do it. So after a couple minutes, I think my hearing went numb because the pain wasn't as bad as a second ago. The plane was in the air and it looked like my worries were all in my head. The flight attendants started to move around the cabin and the passengers looked like they were all getting settled in for a 4-hour flight to Canada. And the captain started to pressurize the cabin for the flight. This is where things get fun, because what I'm about to tell you took place over what seems like an hour but was really a few seconds. And when you see your life flash before your eyes, it's like watching a movie at 1000 gigs per second. You see every detail, hear every sound, and feel every feeling at turbo speed. I also need to add, for legal reasons, that I need to leave out the name of the airline, the manufacturer of the plane, and the name of any and all of the crew. Now that I got that out of the way, I can continue. The entire time while we were on the runway and taking off, I could still see light through a thin crack around the door, and when the captain started pressurizing the aircraft, he couldn't, so he kept trying. Well, this action of trying to pressurize a few dozen times made the door move a few dozen times, and every time he did it, the door would open a little more until finally the son of a bitch flew open with enough force to crack the wall. This is where the slow motion part starts. I was in the Air Force, so I've been in planes with their doors open, so that part didn't freak me out too bad, but the wind that came through the cabin was amazing. It had to be well over 300 miles per hour because it seemed to blow every piece of paper in the plane in the air, followed by everybody screaming and throwing their arms in the air. At this point, I'm thinking the captain figured out the door was open because he put the plane in an aerobatic nosedive with the intention of getting as low as possible as quick as possible. Now imagine for a second what was going on in my head, because in the last 5 seconds the door had just blown off, papers were flying around the cabin, people were screaming for their lives, and the captain put us into a nosedive and seemed to be trying to put us into the ground to save the airline the burial costs. Well, I guess he wasn't trying to kill everyone because he leveled out in the mountains, but he was in what seemed like a valley. I know this because as I looked out the door-sized hole where the door was supposed to be, I could see the top of the mountains beside me, and the captain was flying the terrain like a fighter jet. It seemed like we were flying low for a couple minutes and we came in for a landing. But they made a great show of that too. They brought out the fire trucks and a couple bus-sized ambulances and escort cars and trucks. They brought the plane to somewhere on the field away from everything, checked it out, and must have given us the okay because the plane went into a loading gate. When we got there, they made a couple announcements and I was so fried it sounded like Snoopy was up front. After a bit, a couple guys in overalls came in the plane and they proceeded to the open door, managed to close it with no light coming through it, and then left. The airline had a representative standing by at the door as everyone got off, and I was either the last one off and one of the last ones off, and I approached the rep and said, "I'd like to talk to you about your departure and cross-check procedure." So she said, "So you're the one we went into the terminal?" And she bought me a sandwich and took my statement and my name and address. We then waited for them to unload the plane, get ours out of that parking spot, park a new plane, and then load everything they took off the old plane. It only took a couple minutes, but for those 60 minutes they treated everyone like royalty, free food, free drinks, and crazy seating. And when we got on the plane there was a skissing galore. I can only imagine it was so everyone kept quiet. But I think it worked because no one seemed to be talking about what just happened. I was happy because I had a belly full of food and they had taken my statement, and my seat was bigger and had more room than the last one. A couple weeks later I got a few phone calls from the NTSB and the airline, and I told them my story and they thanked me and everything was normal. After that was a bit of a wait. I think it was 3 or 4 months, but I can't be sure. I received a letter in the mail in a really fat envelope. I opened it and read the letter inside. I won't bore you with everything that was said, but the skinny of the story was I got a bunch of first class tickets to anywhere that airline flies. I don't recommend getting your first class tickets this way, but if you happen to see me in the airport catching a flight, take a look at the airline I'm on and connect the dots.